Bring up chat. Come on, this is on an SD card. How slow is this gonna boot? Is the SD card dead already? But what if I were to purchase steamed clams and disguise it as fast food? Delightfully devilish, devilish, devilish. Studio Arcade? What?
It's a smash hit. Oh, yeah!
Today, we're gonna go over a massive situation that was recently brought to light regarding a deeply concerning vulnerability that could put your Roblox account in danger.
Maggot, 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 hashtag, hashtag. Was Roblox actually cool, though? What even is FL Studio Arcade?
Research indicates that over 98% of our customers have also played a video game before. This is why we've created FL Studio Arcade.
What even is this? The internet. I mean, still works. Internet Explorer. Meow.
Microsoft designed Windows NT 3.5 to compete with established enterprise systems such as Unix and mobile network. And for any operating system to be deployed into tens of thousands, it had to be scalable with built-in security controls. In this video, I'm going to show you how an administrator would lock down Windows NT workstations at scale in the mid-1990s, a couple of classic settings that were commonly enabled, and how login scripts were used in conjunction with this policy. And finally, what to do when you accidentally lock yourself out of every server in your environment. Windows NT was built on two main ideas. The registry served as the main database for nearly all system configurations. The user profile sets up the working environment by loading each person's settings, preferences, and identity whenever they logged in. The system that was created by the Microsoft team was called System Policy Editor. The System Policy Editor enabled an administrator to control specific registry settings and the configuration of each user's profile in Windows NT. Combined together, this was the built-in security control at scale. The Windows NT registry is primarily split into two sections. The first, shown here, is hkey_current_user. This is loaded at logon from the user's profile and controls the appearance of Windows desktop environments and all Windows Explorer settings. This includes your standard appearance change settings, such as which screensaver would run. The second section is hkey_local_machine, which contains system-wide configuration settings. These were settings that apply to the machine itself, no matter who's logged on. In this section, you would find the configuration for services, drivers, and which applications run on startup. The key to all of this is that the settings are fixed, or as was commonly called, tattooed into Windows. Simply removing the policy didn't revert the registry automatically. The System Policy Editor references users, groups, and computers.
Stop.
Windows NT users and groups were managed separately in the User Manager for Domains application. Here you'd be able to find all the different groups that a user could be added to. For example, the Print Operators group. The computers were kept to control specific registry settings and the configuration of each user's profile in Windows NT. Combined together, this was the built-in security control at scale. The Windows NT registry is primarily split into two sections. The first, shown here, is hkey_current_user. This is loaded at logon from the user's profile and controls the appearance of Windows desktop environments and all Windows Explorer settings. This includes your standard appearance change settings, such as which screensaver would run. The second section is hkey_local_machine, which contains system-wide configuration settings. These were settings that apply to the machine itself, no matter who's logged on. In this section, you would find the configuration for services, drivers, and which applications run on startup. The key to all of this is that the settings are fixed, or as was commonly called, tattooed into Windows. Simply removing the policy didn't revert the registry automatically. The System Policy Editor references users, groups, and computers. In Windows NT, users and groups were managed separately in the User Manager for Domains application. Here you'd be able to find all the different groups that a user could be added to. For example, the Print Operators group. The computers were kept in a different application called Server Manager, and it will show you all the servers and workstations in the domain. It would show you all the devices on the network, Here, you can see my Mac being listed as a Windows NT 6.1 workstation.
What? 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 Windows NT 6.1. Windows NT 6.1. On a Mac? It's like...
You can see my Mac being listed as a Windows NT 6.1 workstation. Windows NT allowed you to choose and customize the desktop look. Here under the Appearance tab, you can pick the colors, fonts, and overall aesthetic look of your environment. These choices were saved in the Users section of the registry. Next, I open System Policy Editor, create a new policy, and open the Default Users section. The same settings from Appearance are displayed, allowing you to control how the Windows desktop looks across the environment. The key point here is that the default user applies to every new profile that logs onto a workstation. If you change something here, it affects everybody. The correct approach was to target a specific group. That allowed you to add users to the group that would have specific appearance or configuration. Back in User Manager for Domains, I create a new global group called Restricted Users, which I will use to demonstrate how a system policy affects its membership. I need a user account to add to the group, and I will add my own name to the Restricted Users group. Note that I removed the administrator membership from the group because we do not want those policies applied to the administrator account. Back in the System Policy Editor, I now create a new policy based on the Restricted Users group. To show a simple change, I go to Desktop Settings and Appearance, then select Lavender 256. That will be applied automatically when any member of this group logs in. The last stage is to save the policy in the correct location. That is the net logon share, or /winnt/system32/repl/import/scripts. The policy has to be named ntconfig.pol, and there you can see in the netlogon share the ntconfig.pol files are now in place. When I now log into the NT workstation as my Kyle user, I'm able to see that the Lavender 256 desktop appearance is automatically applied for me at login.
Damn, that's useful. Not even just for network dings.
Back on the Windows NT server, I open the policy for restricted users, and now we'll set a restriction so the Appearance tab is hidden in display settings. This prevents the user from changing the Lavender 256 appearance. The policy takes effect on the next login for the user, and now if they try to change the appearance of Windows, they find that the tab is completely hidden from the display settings and are unable to make the change. A common corporate setting that would be enabled is a custom programs folder. This would mean every user who logged into a workstation would have exactly the same start menu, no matter which computer they used. The configuration is found under the Windows NT Shell Custom Folder section, where it can be seen that the default location is the user's own profile at %userprofile/startmenu/programs. In order to be able to point everybody to the same location, you need a share for this. On the server, in the NT config folder, I create a new folder called Start Menu, and then inside that place a folder called Programs. In the Start Menu folder, I configure it as a share and set permissions so that domain admins have full control and everyone else who is in the domain as a user has read access, which is all they need to access the contents of that folder. To place the correct shortcuts in the Shared Program folder, it made the most sense to log into a workstation, then copy each shortcut you wanted and place it in the shared folder. In this instance, I'm going for a single notepad file that runs on startup and maximizes when the user logs in. This is why a golden image workstation was used for this kind of configuration and then deployed across the entire network. Each workstation would need the exact applications installed so that the shared program files point to them correctly. At the system policy, I configure the custom programs folder location to reflect the full system path of the share I created. Note that my start menu folder does not have a space between the T and the M, so that's been deleted. To create a clean program environment with only the applications you require, enable the setting that hides common groups from the start menu. Common groups included Windows Explorer, accessories, communications, etc. Finally, I removed the run, find folders, and taskbar settings from the start menu. At the workstation, the custom programs folder is showing and contains only the Notepad application. However, directly above, you can see that the start menu is repeated with another programs folder. This was a common issue that would crop up, as NT defines this as the start menu subfolders, and these need to be hidden as well. Testing the custom start folder works perfectly, and Notepad launches exactly as expected. The setting that's required is shown here in System Policy Editor as Hide Start Menu Subfolders. On the NT workstation, I now have the policy working exactly as intended. The start menu reveals one